Hello, listeners. Welcome to Can You Guess That? I'm your host, Caitlin Best.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hey, Matt.
It's me, Matt. It's me, the other host. Hi.
Hey. What's going on, Matt?
Not much. It's 420.
I just made a shaka with my hand.
I couldn't see it.
I know. That's why I had to tell you.
The listeners couldn't see it either.
It's not 420 here. It's only 120. So I guess I don't get to join in.
Yeah, how does it feel to be a square, Caitlin?
That's how it feels. But you know what they say, Matt?
What?
It's if time was a continuous time gradient instead of discrete time zones, then it would be 420 somewhere all the time.
Is that what they say?
That's what they say.
It seems like something someone would say when it is 420 somewhere.
Well, it's always 420 somewhere. So
if it was a continuous time gradient.
If it was a time gradient, yeah.
Dean, how high are you?
On a scale of 1 to 4.
20? Yeah, on that very wide scale.
I can neither confirm nor deny. No, I'm not high right now. I'm working. I'm doing professional podcasting.
That's what we call this. Very professional. Thank you, Dean Schmelz, our friend.
Hello.
Joining us this week.
Hey, Dean.
Hi.
Here all the way from beautiful Philadelphia.
Yes.
Visiting the... What's a synonym for big? Yeah, but like a fun synonym.
So funner.
Like a fun word.
Jumbo.
Yeah, we haven't jumbo done that before. Apple. The jumbo apple. All
right.
all the way from the city of
brotherly
sibling affection.
I was just gonna say cheesesteak town.
Cheesesteak town.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that is the other name for it. So.
Yeah.
Cheesesteakville. Yeah. There's apparently a big rivalry between like Pat's and Gino's. There's like a couple cheesesteak. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
And which side are you on?
Haven't been to either of them. I've not.
Oh damn.
How
long is your program, Dean?
2 years.
How many years?
Yeah. That's
what,
my sentence.
What if you went that whole time?
And
what
didn't
if you challenged
go?
Yourself to go Ooh. That whole time without eating a single cheesesteak?
Well, I already broke that. Well, I had a cheesesteak before the program started, but that was the only one I've had. So that was my like, okay, this will be the last one for 2 years, and then
you just had a cheesesteak wrap today at lunch.
I wasn't gonna bring that up because it doesn't count because it was in New York.
So it was in New York.
It doesn't
also,
count.
It doesn't count because it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Yeah. That's a different.
And I didn't really roast you on this at lunch, but
saving it for now. You thought we're gonna talk about
it's funny
this in a more
it's a little funny
context. Well, it was good. Yeah. And the salad was cute. They said that all the sandwiches came with a cute salad. Like, that's how the menu described it.
It's true.
And when it came, I'm like, oh, that is a cute salad. Look at that.
Where was this?
A restaurant called The Gray Dog. In the lower
there are
east
sponsors
side.
For this episode.
Yeah.
Mention this podcast and your meal is half off.
Yep. Definitely just go and say, have you listened to Can You Get to That? And they'll hook you up.
Yeah. With a cheesesteak wrap.
Yeah. This week our sponsors Sweetzels spiced wafers.
Sorry, one more time.
Sweetzels.
Can you do it a little bit higher? The microphone's not picking up.
Sweetzels.
There you go.
There it is. Yeah. I heard you.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Sweetzels spiced wafers.
Spiced. That's the part of the pronunciation that's more surprising.
Mm-hmm. That's very important.
Spiced.
All the way
What's
from
it?
Philadelphia, the town of sibling affection and
what
cheesesteaks.
Is, what is a sweetzel?
It's a ginger snap.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's a really good ginger snap.
They don't just make ginger snaps. They make other cookies,
okay.
I think. I don't know.
But this is like the thing that they're known for?
I think so, yeah. Wikipedia told me, which ironically.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Tell me, both of you, what we're getting to today, because this is one for the language majors, and I am a money major, and I don't understand these things.
Money talks, right? Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, that's all I know about language.
Yeah,
is
that
just
they
like,
say. Wow, that,
I make
wow,
it rain.
Deep. Wow. Well, okay, so here's the thing. We say we're going to the Sapir Whorf hypothesis, but I think we might actually be going to linguistic relativism.
Or like Whorfianism.
I think it might be a redirect.
Okay. Uh-oh.
You don't know for sure?
It's okay, though.
You're guessing, or did you check?
I'm pretty sure when I was on the page before, it actually said linguistic relativism at the top, but it's okay. It's the same thing. It's
right.
A redirect.
All right.
It's
so
all relative.
The only question being, what the hell is the name of this episode? But, you know, we'll figure it out. Because we're going to get to it, and then we'll know what the page is called.
Yeah,
we'll
exactly.
Just go back and whatever, you know, it'll be an empirical thing. Like, this is where we got to. We got to that.
We've never done an episode, Caitlin, where we just don't really specify what the topic is, and then we try to improv our way through, and then whatever page we end on, we're like, we got to it.
Well, because that's a different game. That would be a different thing if we did that.
But it would be, I mean, our numbers would start to improve if we just pretended like whatever the last page we got to was always the intentional one. And then we go back at the start and we edit the start of the show to be like, we're trying to get to this page.
Now, it'd be different to say the coolest page we get to approximately an hour from now, that's the one. Or there's actually a clock running down and it's like a hot potato. Like the page that is up on the screen at a certain time, you're stuck with it. So you have to either move on in an intelligent way or you're trapped there. And it could be a really terrible Wikipedia page.
What if we've actually been cheating the listeners this whole time and we've never actually gotten a suggestion?
Well, don't say haven't been cheating the listeners. Okay, this is my first. You know, they don't bias them against me. This is you guys.
But think about this, Caitlin. There's an alternate universe. And you know I love to bring up alternate universes on the show. Where we've done
there's an alternate universe where we've cheated every time.
We've cheated every time with the same exact end result, like
there definitely
the same
is.
Quality of
there's,
podcast.
There's also an alternate universe where the first time we tried to do this, like a meteor hit my house and I died.
Yeah. Do you wish
and
you
now
lived
it's just,
in that
and now
universe?
It's just, well, I'm dead in that universe.
So no.
And now it's just you doing the podcast.
Just me. Solo.
Just a Matt.
Would I be dead too, or just not there that week in this universe?
You were never born in that universe.
There are versions where you're not around, yeah.
We never explained what the thing is. Dean, you did a good job before. Why don't you explain what the thing is?
So we were talking about this, you know, Sapir-Whorf hypothesis. It's named after these language researchers. I don't even want to call them linguists. I don't think they deserve to be. So they had this idea that the language you speak, like which of several named languages it is, like, oh, I know French or German. Like if you speak one of those languages, it'll shape your thoughts and kind of determine the way you experience the world. And you can't experience the world in the same way as someone who speaks a different language.
Okay.
So I feel like the like, you know, if you're sitting around, if it's 420 and like you're talking about this with your bros that you listen to like pop linguistics podcasts with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your radio labs.
The example of this that you'll give is like, whoa, dude, like in some languages, did you know they don't even have a word for yellow and like they can't see yellow.
Right. They don't know what yellow is. Like, you show them a yellow thing, and they shrug.
They can't even conceptualize yellow, man.
How could they conceptualize it if there was no word for yellow? You know?
Yeah.
What would the concept be called?
When in all actuality, like...
That's not true.
They can see fucking yellow.
Yeah,
we can
their
see
brains
yellow.
Work. They're
we
humans.
Can all see yellow. Well,
but is
some
this
can't.
Is the
some
yellow
colorblind,
you
but...
see the same as the yellow I see? Or we just both
they're
call
like,
it yellow?
Bro, they're like... entire peoples who have languages and like they just don't get what that Coldplay song is about at all, like they just don't understand,
they can't even translate it.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of like
it's just a nonsense
or whatever
word. It's like they have to scat the whole song,
they have to have it be a loan word and they're like, what is yellow? I don't get it. They don't even know it's like talking about a color.
It's funny because you mentioned translating, and I think it's really common for people to say, oh, you know, this language doesn't have a word for that. There's no way to translate this word into that language. Maybe that's like true in a really strict sense. Like, is there one word that corresponds exactly? But why would we expect that anyway? That's strange. But you can always talk about different things. But the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis is that, no, you can't. If there isn't like a word or concept that's, you know, frozen in the shape of a word. Like if, I don't know, if the language doesn't let you say something, you can't think it either. It's a bad idea. It's
really extreme and not good.
Right.
Doesn't make sense.
But I think people are really quick to think the translation thing, but then it's not too different from the Superior Worf thing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't translate that. It just, you know, doesn't, you can't say that in that light.
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes that seems like a hang up, right? Like, you can't translate it, and what they really mean is you can talk about that idea.
Sure.
You don't have an exact one word for it, or the two words have different, like, historical connotations in a way,
like a
or associations.
And
you're just like, you can't really understand. It's almost like if you don't know the original language, you don't even know the depths of the artistry or something.
You can't read Nietzsche unless you speak German, man.
Right, exactly.
You can't think what Nietzsche was thinking unless you're thinking it in German thoughts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the same time period, in the same setting.
Yeah, funny how that isn't.
That's
often,
not the thing. Yeah,
but that's not what people say. Mm-hmm. People think, oh, you can't understand it because you're not from the same time. Maybe people think that, but they'll think about language faster than I don't know, than other things.
Well,
let's do the thing.
Let's do the thing. You got to get Wikipedia up though, because I can just see your face.
Oh, really? I thought. You know what I did is I opened the screen share thing.
Hmm.
And then I didn't click which screen I wanted to share.
Is there something about the word screen share and, like, you know, the way it is in English that kind of
caused
that
issue? I kind of feel like screen doesn't
issue?
Really correspond to, like, my experience of, like, this thing I'm looking at.
Mm. Mm. Like, you think
I feel
of a screen
like maybe
door?
We need maybe we need a different word, actually.
Can you open the door to Wikipedia for us, please?
Okay. You see the door?
No, I see black.
Yeah.
Well, you see black?
Oh, there we go. I got it now.
There it is.
There it is. Okay.
Welcome to Wikipedia.
I had to turn the lights on.
Okay.
And then Wikipedia.
Okay.
Step one. Lynn Riggs.
Who is Lynn Riggs?
I don't know. Right. An American author, poet, and playwright born on a farm near
Come on, get it out.
Claremore, Oklahoma. That's an odd thing to open with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To say where he was born.
I feel like that's not too weird. What's weird is then his mother was 1/8 Cherokee. Yeah.
That's the next line. That's the second most prominent thing on the page.
When he was 2 years old, his mother secured his Cherokee allotment for him. He was able to draw on his allotment to help support his writing. So I guess there must have been a program at some point where Cherokees got, like, grants.
If I hover, it's called the Dawes Act.
Okay, so yeah, some kind of government reparations thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Huh. But he was 1/8. So he was
just an 8.
So he was a little bit Cherokee and then was like, I need to write my plays and poems on my 1/8 allotment.
Did that factor into his allotment? Like, did he get less of whatever was allotted to?
I don't know.
Did he get an 8th of it?
Well, the joke.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Did he get an 8th? Yo, 420. I feel like this is the joke that people like to make in terms of people tenuously claiming their native background is, like, they always go to, like, 1/16.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, by matter of degrees, is, like, 1/8 still something that you would, like Dwayne the Rock Johnson, like, cock an eyebrow up at?
I don't think it's quite a joke yet.
As I don't know.
But then the next step back, you're like, okay.
The next one is...
Like, once you're in the tens of parts. Huh.
That's interesting. Well, one thing we didn't talk about yet is at the top of the page, it says his name, Lynn, but he was given as Raleigh Lynn Riggs. Like,
which I think is cuter.
When did he stop going by Raleigh? That's a cool name.
People kept saying it was cute, and he didn't want to be cute anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, Raleigh.
Raleigh.
Yeah, that's got to be fucking annoying after a while.
You think Raleigh was short for something like Ralbert or but
Rolliford?
Keep Raleigh, 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 Raleigh. What? Keep Raleigh, Raleigh, Raleigh.
So he's a man of letters. He writes poetry. This is good. We're gonna. What languages did he write in? That's gonna be.
It seems like English.
Well, why does it seem that way? Does it?
Because the plays have English names.
Okay. Yeah. I've not heard of any of these plays.
The musical Oklahoma is based on a play he wrote.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Based on a thing he did.
Well, there we go.
Now, that's cool.
Green Grow the Lilacs, I guess, is that? Because it's the only one that's got its own page.
Yeah, yeah, that's what Oklahoma is based on.
Interesting.
Published in 1931.
Hmm. Well, where should we click to? Not stomach cancer, which is what you were just hovering over.
I'm wondering if we could try to go through like some universities.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I know what you're saying.
Western Reserve University.
Well, I don't know about that one.
Well, what other universities?
Western Reserve University sounds fake to me. That sounds like a correspondence.
Is it? It sounds like a bank to me. Like Western Reserve.
And they just tack on the last bars. Yeah. It sounds like a University of Phoenix thing these days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to the Oklahoma Hall of Fame. See what other famous Oklahomans.
What other famous Oklahomans there are?
Yeah. Any famous Okie linguists off the top of your
head? Yeah. What if Mr. Sapir was from Oklahoma?
Or Mr. Worf.
Or Mr. Horf.
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 Horf. Horf. There is a H in there.
Yeah.
Huh. It's possible.
Man, did I ever tell you guys about the kid I babysit? I heard his reading tutor like trying to teach him like, you know how words like wharf exist and they have an H in them, but almost no one actually says the H anymore?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a
this lady away. Was like trying to teach his kid that like teach the kid that like he talks wrong because he doesn't say the H in wheat and where.
Well,
and it was like
interesting. Isn't the whole thing there that it wasn't does every word that has the WH spelling get pronounced the wh way?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It did. At one time it did.
Okay.
The only time
that's why it's there.
So that's to distinguish that from other W words that don't have H.
It was a different phoneme at one time, right. But now it's not for, like I said, almost anyone except for fucking old people.
Yeah. So this person who was trying to teach the kid to do it, their own speech had that feature? Or are they just
know.
Like...
I don't know if she does or if she was just... If she's just like... Because
that'd be so weird if her speech didn't, but she's like, I'm pretty sure you're supposed to do this and it's too late for me, but you're
I
young.
Kinda feel like
I'll
it
save
might, I kind of feel like it might be that situation. Or maybe she like taught herself to say it.
You need to speak properly.
Exactly, yeah.
It's actually the husband dressed up as a nanny to try and connect with his kids. And...
You're saying this is a Mrs. Doubtfire situation.
Absolutely.
Hello, children.
I will give you one of my sweet souls ginger snaps all the way from Philadelphia if you say hoot and hoot.
At some point, you got to crack into one of those just so the listeners can hear how crunchy they are.
Nope, that's not going to
happen. The crackles?
No?
I want to hear the crackles.
Now that I brought it up, I think
it's going to be bad audio.
I'm okay with that if you guys are not. I know, maybe you guys take this more seriously.
The only time I say wheat is when I'm being really cheeky playing Settlers of Catan.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I'll have some sheep for wheat. All right.
Wheat.
Here's a Sweetzels fucking ginger snap.
Sorry, what? Sorry, Matt, what?
Sweetzels!
Okay. Here we go. I heard it that time.
You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh God!
Oh, it sounds good. Does it like hurt the inside of your mouth a little bit?
Terribly so. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It sounds sharp.
Yeah, you can't really see the blood that's pooling out in our mouths.
This is how we do it in Philadelphia. I just got a mouthful of blood. This is how we do it.
It's a really violent city.
You soak it up with the cheesesteak. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's all I know about Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I'm going to click on
University of Oklahoma.
Yeah. Nice. Step two. All
right. Here we go.
Oh, let's see. They got a huge endowment. Oh my God.
Really? Where's it say?
$1.5 billion.
$1.5 billion.
Wow.
I guess it is huge. I don't know what other public universities have.
I mean, it may be comparable, but I just think
about
ours.
Harvard's is like $20 billion.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's sick.
It's like a country.
It's obscene.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think about just our tiny liberal arts college and how puny endowment is.
Hey, I think per student, ours is higher.
Right.
Oh, yeah, true. Per student, maybe.
Just saying.
30,000 students.
30,000 kiddos.
And you're at Penn now, which has, you told me,
like 24.
14,000 grad students.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And then like 10,000 undergrads.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a big place.
Penn is not where Chomsky is.
No, he went there as a student. Like he
went there, and now he's at Cornell.
No, MIT.
Oh, duh.
Yeah, he's a MIT boy.
Right, he's a MITster, as they call him.
Is that actually what they call him?
MITster?
Yes,
that'd be great.
But
really, ew, I hate that.
Oh wow.
No, I made that. I made that up. Come on.
It was a goof. Here, Caitlin.
Yeah.
That was him breaking a tooth for you.
Yeah. Because I fucked up, but I need my mouth to be full of blood now.
Yeah.
By the time this gets over, this podcast, you're not going to have any teeth left.
No, this will be the last episode of Can You Get To That?
A mouthful of jagged...
Just a ruined glass-like hole in my face.
Can you gum to that? Gum your way through the interwebs.
Oh, gross. That's a whole different audience that we're not trying to appeal to.
Yet.
Thank you, Dean. What should we look at?
Do they have a
here?
Linguistics department? You know.
Well, they do have a. This is what I'm looking at. Okay, Native American studies includes language classes in Cherokee, Choctaw, Muscogee, Creek, and Kiowa.
Okay.
It doesn't. That's a different thing.
Yeah. They got a pretty campus. I'll say that.
They've got multiple campuses: North Campus, South Campus.
Fancy. Dean and I. Even though I watched this literally less than a week ago, Dean got here yesterday and we were hanging out and I was like, should we watch something? And Dean's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, wait, we have to watch the episode of Leverage that they filmed
again
at Reed College. Yeah. So I've now watched that twice.
Yep. Oh, my God. You've watched that now more than any other person on Earth.
I watched that more than the people who made Leverage.
Yeah.
Watched
They didn't even watch the episode after they finished editing.
I fell asleep at some points during it. I probably watched about 3/4 of it.
You did see the bad fight scene they filmed the thesis at in the thesis tower, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, where like the students stormed out.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, gosh, that...
What actually happens in that episode?
Okay, so, it opens with, a haggard-looking man kind of having a freak out, and then he runs upstairs from, like, this prison cell in the basement and emerges in the middle of a, like, frat house party, like a classy... like rich kid frat party, which is being held in Winch, which is
the nicest frat house,
the room at Reed where we held improv shows and tossed PBRs out.
It's the room at Reed where the frat parties happened.
Sure. What's really hilarious is that it did take me a moment to realize it because they covered the chalkboard with a trophy case. But that was about the extent of it. They covered the chalkboard with a trophy case. They might have put up a couple pictures. They changed the door handle to be gold or like brass. To signal wealth.
What color is the door handle?
It's just one of those like brushed steel, like the push down.
Okay.
Whatever.
Like the kind with the lever. Kind that a cat could open?
Yeah, the kind a cat can open. Versus this was like a brass knob. A little classier. Yeah. But then they still had, you can see it prominently in one of the shots as this haggard man like falls and collapses of a heart attack. You can see the gross Winch carpet, the beer stained carpet.
The ceiling looks pretty good. They do a shot where you're
from the
his
ceiling looks pretty classy.
Yeah.
True.
I'm like, that we had a nice ceiling there in Winch.
We never spilled beer on that.
And it turns out that these rich frat boys are running a psychology experiment.
Where they murder people?
Where they... So this guy dies, and they dump his body off of the Blue Bridge on campus, which is a special effect. It's not... They don't actually dump anything.
Are
which
you sure?
The water,
it looked very realistic.
The water
pretty good.
In the lake... The water at that point is, like, maybe 3 feet deep.
Yeah. They're not smart frat boys. So they dump this body... And it turns out that these frat boys are running an undergrad psych experiment where they're able to pay homeless men to submit themselves fully under the care of these undergrads. It's absurd.
It's like sleep deprivation to make them more susceptible to military takeover.
Yes, because also being like bankrolled by the CIA is the thing. Mm-hmm. Is that it's not only just like corrupt, dangerous undergrad experiment, but also that the CIA, because the frat boys are part of a secret society.
They're part of the military undergrad right. complex.
Right.
Yeah.
All frat boys. It's just it feeds right into the CIA.
Before all these things,
or the NSA.
Before all these things come out, though, the premise of Leverage is that these are all ex-like intelligence people who are now working on behalf of the little man, right? Of like the people who aren't going to otherwise like see a fair trial. So this old man's daughter is the one in contact and being like, they definitely were involved in my father's death. He was homeless at the time, and he definitely entered into this thing. But she, like, the daughter says, you know, they're all undergrads. Like, you know how it is with undergrad experiments. You can't trust them. Of course, like, this is all a big conspiracy on their part. Before they even know the CIA is involved and it's about torture, like...
They also, got like the approval to do the human research from a wise 20-year-old.
I don't know how they got approval from the
you know, like someone elder than them who was like 20 years old, you know, like a really experienced researcher.
Exactly. They call Elliott Hall, the main building on campus, they call it the psych building repeatedly. And then they talk about the fact that they've moved the experiment from underneath the frat house to the basement of the psych building.
I love...
And so whenever they're talking about, like, the basement of the psych building, I'm thinking two things with regards to Reed College. One, the basement of the actual psych building is a nuclear reactor.
Yeah.
So that
Which
doesn't work.
They really should have incorporated into the episode.
They should have used that. That That'd should have
be
been, like, the
location.
Focal point.
Or that's where they would have dumped the body instead of the shallow...
This is, the,
they
the
talk
obvious...
about undergrad experiments being risky, but, like, undergrads running a nuclear reactor.
Listen, the obvious focal point for if you're going to film a TV show about undergrads fucking stuff up at Reed College, it's like, they blow the reactor up, you know?
It's right. possible that their equipment might have been, like, not great to use down there.
Well, I don't why? Know. Because of all the radiation?
Yeah, all the dangerous radiation around.
Honestly, I bet...
Now that I say it sounds really dumb.
Yeah, I bet like a normal camcorder, like equipment for them to film the show, that would probably put out more radiation than the reactor actually does.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Don't talk to me about the fact that I walk around with a smartphone in my pocket all day. The other thing being that the basement of Elliott is, of course, where I spent like 2 years of my life... So the fact that they're like, this is where we've locked up the homeless people for this dangerous experiment. I'm just like,
accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. I
love it. I love envisioning,
Matt,
I love envisioning a whole frat that's all psych boys.
Also read psych boys. Yeah.
It's just all psychology boys that love psychology and love experimenting. And that's what the frat is about.
Huh. It's weird coming from Reed and being at Penn where there actually are frats. I mean, we joke about Reed frats that don't exist, but, you know, I haven't been bothered by, like, the presence of frats. It's just something you notice, like, all of the houses lining this main...
They all have letters on them.
Yeah. Well, you're a grad student, so you're not hanging out with the kids.
Yet. Yeah, I mean, I haven't made friends with them yet. I'm new.
You're a new boy.
They haven't invited me to any of their frat parties. They haven't invited me to play shirtless volleyball with them.
Yeah, when are you going to do Rush Week?
I don't know. Gosh, I think I missed it.
Ah, darn it.
You're never going to be cool now.
Nope. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Think, though, about the hazing rituals at a psychology frat.
It'll just be, like, mental
It's just
tricks.
It
gets dark.
It's just a
it gets
Stanford
fucking
prison
dark.
Experiment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also a scene in the Leverage episode where they have a class, but they're holding it in the thesis tower because I guess a normal classroom wasn't fancy looking enough for them.
You have to have books for class, man.
Books everywhere.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, the class is a game theory class, so I really want to like be like, hey, yo, thesis advisor of mine, have you watched this dumb show? Have you seen how bad their version of talking about the the prisoner's dilemma is.
Right. They start this class saying, we're going to learn about game theory. So who wants to be our volunteer? One, like the main character from the episode just gets pulled into
the main bad frat boy gets pulled into this like demonstration in front of the class. Yeah. And the guy explains, the guy from Mr. Leverage, let's call him, explains the prisoner's dilemma. And he's like, oh, so if you're not going to rat out your friend, you're going to go to prison for a long time. And then he leans in and goes, you will, you know.
Later in the episode, you will.
This is foreshadowing your actual fate.
What? Nothing.
Is a bad show. Yeah. This is a bad show.
I can't believe I sat through three quarters of an episode. I can't believe you watched two.
I watched it twice.
I told you this. Do you know what I learned about the way that television works? Like the way television is made?
No.
Like from that, because I was like around when that was filmed on campus.
Oh, wait, I think you did tell me this.
And apparently, I did tell you this. Apparently, and I don't know if this is the case on most shoots, but I know people that went over to the like catering line and just helped themselves with some omelets. And nobody asked questions. Like nobody noticed that they were just like some punks and not.
Well, yeah. I mean, so since moving here, I have come across some filming because I'm in the...
And did you try to get an omelet from the set?
Well, the thing is that they're not... It's not like that's crew with the show doing catering. Catering is just trucks that you contract to show up.
It's a different
company. So unless they've been like explicitly tasked with like checking your badge or something...
Yeah.
I mean, if you look like you could pass for one of the extras or crew, you could probably just walk up and get an omelet. So I noticed that there were no recognizable Reed people serving as extras in this at all. Mm-hmm. Like, because most of the students have to be like fratty looking kids.
Right. They have to be like big, healthy looking boys instead of.
Yeah.
Like,
they can't be emaciated scrubby, academics.
Scrubby little cave people.
Absolutely. It doesn't work. Yeah. Doesn't play.
Okay, so...
We're almost there to the Superior Worf hypothesis. I feel almost like close.
Yeah, I've been clicking through this whole time, and we're very close.
Yeah, we've done like 8
seconds. Superior, where's Worf?
Yeah, what should we click on? I have no idea how we're gonna do this, though.
What should we do?
Go to, like...
I don't know. There's a picture of the marching band that I'm looking at. There's a picture of the mascot, which is a horse.
Cool. Oklahoma Boomer. None of these
His name is Boomer Sooner.
Boomer Sooner?
Boomer Sooner?
Yeah.
Weird.
That's his name.
That's worth clicking on just because I'm curious about that Wikipedia page.
But yeah.
Well, it's just about this horse.
Yeah. There's no famous linguists listed here under notable people.
not that I can see. There's world WWE superstar Jack Swagger.
Good get if we were doing a WWE subject.
Yeah, definitely.
Is it too late?
We're doing a completely different thing.
We don't switch the topics generally in the middle.
Really?
Like we said at the top of the
show. Except in that other universe.
Yeah.
Got it.
Who boy?
Well, let's just click anything language related.
Joe Washington. Joe Washington could be anyone, you know?
Not let's click anything. Let's click anything related to language.
Language related, yeah. A language department or
I'll go back up. I'm gonna go back up to where they talked about the Native American language program.
Yeah.
Well, Cherokee language?
Yeah, sure.
Which
do that.
Cherokee language, Choctaw language, which one of those?
Let's just go with Cherokee. It's first on the list.
First.
I don't know. It's the first language.
Okay. Step three.
Yeah.
Cherokee.
It's an Iroquoian language.
Huh.
I didn't know that.
It's the only southern Iroquoian language.
Yeah. All the way down there at the bottom.
Okay, so now we got a bunch of different linguisticsy terms flying around.
I like this. Perfect.
I think I even see a link on the sidebar to IPA.
Just to IPA, the organizational.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always. I don't actually see what you're talking about, but it's okay.
It was all further down the page. But anyway,
okay.
Look for this article contains IPA phonetic symbols.
Well, that's not gonna necessarily help us.
I'm just trying to do anything that gets even remotely.
Well, no,
there's lots of linguistics words.
Yeah.
There's polysynthetic.
Yeah.
pronominal prefix aspect.
You know what? Okay, so this sentence, Cherokee's reportedly among the most difficult languages for native English speakers. And then the phrase native English speakers is a link, or is it several links? Oh, it's one.
Anglosphere.
It's a link to Anglosphere.
Oh,
what is that?
Well, I feel like that's the perspective.
It's like the English-speaking world.
Right,
yeah.
And that's the perspective from which you're like allowed to think this like awful thought of like, oh, these...
be a linguistic relativist.
Yeah,
but I don't think that that's how Wikipedia thinks of it.
Probably not. That's
true.
I think we need to find maybe
some feature of the language interesting.
Yes, a feature of the language, or like somebody who's studied the language, perhaps.
Or something quirky that people would be like, oh, you know, how do speakers of Cherokee think about this or that? So is there a section or like a table
I'll say
of contents?
This, their alphabet looks pretty cool. It's very curly.
The writing system?
It's actually a syllabary.
A syllabary? Oh, so those are all different syllables?
Yeah.
Weird.
I just learned that from the top of the page.
Nice. Cool. Nice reading.
Thank you.
Was that a section
about
education programs that I just saw scrolling by?
Yeah. Official status and then education programs.
Is it widely taught in... like Oklahoma?
I don't know.
Well,
take it at
they're
University of Oklahoma.
They're implementing a language preservation plan, so it must not be that common if that's the stage they're at.
Cool.
Well, I mean, it's I'm sure it's in trouble because
otherwise it wouldn't need a
people
program.
Are people that speak it are getting old and dying.
But if they're teaching it to kids, then that'll.
All we are is dust in the wind. I don't know why that came to mind. Is it 420 again? Has it always been 420?
It's always 420.
There's more on their writing system, Matt. You get to look at more squiggles.
More squiggles. More syllabary squiggles.
Let's talk about who invented it. Maybe
There's just a random... Is this a name, do you think?
Manyoshu? I don't know.
This is just like a random word that's a link.
It's just
and
a word
hover,
in the language.
It's just...
It must be a word for something that merits its own Wikipedia article, you know?
Yeah, it must be a word that we don't have a word for in English.
So can we even read that Wikipedia article? Probably not. We wouldn't understand it.
Yeah, we wouldn't understand
that
any of it.
That doesn't actually exist for us, but it does for other people.
Well, actually... Are there Wikipedia pages? There probably are that are in some languages and not others, because there's different.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, so that's just a.
Yeah,
there definitely are.
Definitely
because,
are.
Well, and just on the basis of like, you know, there's however many millions of Wikipedia articles in English. There's not that many in.
Yeah.
Estonian.
Just
you know?
Languages that don't have as many Wikipedia editors contributing regularly.
English has the most number of articles, I believe. We did do an episode. Dean,
oh my God.
Where we switched tracks from English to German Wikipedia and still got navigated
How
our way to Carly Rae Jepsen.
Wow.
How did we end up doing that?
It was amazing. Johnny was there.
No, not how did we get to Carly Rae, but how did we end up in German?
I insisted on it. Don't you remember?
But I'm saying, did we go over to the sidebar and just click on German?
I think we might have.
You know, that feels like
Jesus
it'd be
Christ.
Out of bounds. Like if you're playing ping pong and, you know, oh, the ball
yeah,
hit the
that's
wall,
what I
that
thought. That was
like,
my position.
No, it's a link.
Any link on the page counts. It's just that a lot of them would be bad and counterproductive.
Right.
Wait, is that Cherokee itself? No.
No, okay. this is Georgian. Dean, have you ever heard of Mingrelian?
No.
Because me neither, but it's a language apparently.
Are these also syllabary, or are these just other curly?
This is all the languages that you can
that
you
Wikipedia
can get.
Has.
Wow. Okay.
Oh yeah, I don't know how the Georgian alphabet works.
Yeah, I don't know anything about.
But
writing
it seems
systems.
To be
barely anything about English's writing system.
Yeah.
Wait, isn't that it at the bottom there though?
What?
Scroll back up a little bit. Like five.
That's Cherokee.
So you can look at the Cherokee language page.
Did you just
in Cherokee,
the Cherokee word for Cherokee
from the top of the page.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. That's good memory.
I got a great brain.
Steel trap.
I got a great brain.
420. What should we click?
Well, go to the orthography section. Partly because we've already been talking about it, but I think it's going to say who came up with the writing system and why.
Yeah, there's like, a picture
somebody
of him,
had to invent
it. Sequoia.
So, like...
This guy, Sequoia.
Okay.
Also known as Guest or George Gist.
That's where the phrase, get the gist of something, comes from, maybe.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, that's what George
Gist wrote
down.
It could. I don't know. I don't know the origins of that phrase.
85 characters. That's a lot.
How many does English have? Does that count punctuation?
How many syllables does English have?
Oh.
Because that's what it's...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're going to edit that out.
No. No, it's staying in.
God. Ugh. What would I have to say
phonemic distinctions, that's a phrase I see. Is phonemic a link? I don't know if that's
phonemic's
actually...
a linguistics thing.
Yeah.
I'm just like, looking for anything linguisticsy, even though this is balls in your court, both of you.
Yeah. So when we're talking about Superior Worf, I think most of the time you're talking about like lexical items or semantic distinctions.
Yeah.
So we probably ought not hover around like phonemic stuff.
Mm.
I just thought the writing system did look cool. So if they have a thing on vocabulary or...
Wikipedia pages about languages are always sort of funny because it feels like there's almost invariably a section that's just like, here's some of the cool words that we have in this language.
Right. Well, that would be
especially
helpful.
Especially like dialects.
Mm.
Like if you go to like, I don't know, Cornwall English or some shit, I guarantee you that there's a section that's like, well, in Cornwall, like we call ice cream freezy juice.
Is that what you think they call ice cream in Cornwall?
In Philly, if you get an Italian ice, it's called a water ice.
Water ice.
That's like not that word you just said is not a word that exists like in my idiolect.
Yeah, Caitlin,
Italian ice.
No, water.
Yeah.
Water.
Yeah, that's the.
Caitlin's just never had an Italian ice, but that's a different sore subject we don't bring up.
Yeah,
if you've never had an Italian ice, you can't really understand. You know,
I
only the Italians really conceive of ice.
Until you had like a what it would be like a glacé or something. Like I'm trying to think of
the Italian
gelato.
Word.
Yeah, until you've never had a gelato, you don't really know.
This vocabulary section is unhelpful.
Wait, can we scroll back down to where
colors?
You just were?
Colors.
They do seem to have quite a lot of colors.
You know, and
though.
Colors is cool. There are some experiments about. So, like, the weak version of the Superior Worf hypothesis isn't what we've been ripping on. I've been complaining, but the weak version is pretty boring. It's, like, toned down enough to still, I don't know, it's boring, but it's probably true. It's, like, if your language has a certain way of describing colors, like, there's a difference between the word for pink and red, mm-hmm. even though pink is just light red, you might be faster to notice a different shade of red that qualifies mm-hmm. as pink than if you spoke a language that just called it all red, light red, dark red.
And this is true. This is like Russian is like that, right?
Because they've got, so blue in Russian, you have to say a different word depending on,
on the shade of blue.
Well, I don't mean have to, but light blue.
There exists, but like we would never, I mean, it is the same thing though. Like in English, we would never call pink red.
Like if someone was like, what color is that? And you said red, you'd be like,
think you were...
Technically, but no.
Well, in the popular web series, Red versus Blue, actually, mm-hmm. there's a character whose halo armor...
Is there a pink ranger?
Appears to be the color pink, but he insists that it's just lightish red. And let me tell you, that was very hilarious to 12-year-old Matt Olson. It was
because
funny.
Because you know what else is funny about pink? Is that it's like
girl
color.
Isn't that hilarious?
Why would a Halo soldier want to wear a girl color?
Boy, I was a shit. That show has like 14 seasons and it has its own lore now. Like,
yeah, I read your tweet about that the other day. That's very upsetting to me.
Did you watch that? I bet you watched.
I mean, yeah, I watched a little bit of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything that happened in particular.
That's good. I noticed down
question. Is there teabagging in Red versus Blue?
Yes.
Or is that like
yes.
two? There is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's there. I noticed down further on the page here for Cherokee language, they were talking about adopted words. And I found this interesting. They were like, they adopted a word for coffee because they didn't have one. So it's now kawi. and they adopted a word for watch, watsi. Mm-hmm. But then when they wanted to have a word for clock, they just went with utana watsi or big watch.
Big watch.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's interesting.
Like, why not just make a new word for clock? It's like, well,
it's a big watch.
We already took.
It's the same fucking
it's
thing.
It's the same fucking thing. We already took Watsy, so let's just go with big one.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a while until like someone realized like we took watch, but fuck, we don't have. We might as well just say someone just improvised.
Yeah.
Big clock or big watch. Big clock is that's a whole nother matter because you'd have to say like for Big Ben you'd have to say like
a big watch.
A big watch, like a huge watch.
Huge.
Huge. Do people do huge in Philly? Is that
not
a feature
that I've
of Philly?
Heard. Maybe they did but then have to not anymore due to the political climate.
Yeah.
It's been ruined.
It's been just chat upon.
Okay, now we look.
So borrowed words are
click.
Cool.
We can at the bottom we have Iroquoian languages and Native American languages.
Let's go with Native American languages.
Yeah.
I'm thinking there might just be some like broad concepts on here.
I like that the actual name of this page for step 4 is Indigenous Languages of the Americas. And that's
as if the languages were indigenous, like I don't know. Even before people were there, the languages were there.
Well, you don't know.
That's where language comes from. It's like
people move into
pick
a
it up
space
off the ground. It's like
find...
a power up that you find.
It's like a disease. Shiny. Like you catch it. Mm-hmm. Like you move in. It's like or like an allergy or something. You're like, achoo, now I know how to speak words.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
That's it.
It's like you can kind of hear it. Like when you can tell someone's stuffed up. Like, did you catch something? Like
you know, in the show Lost, when they heard the whispers in the woods. Some people think that it was ghosts, but actually that's just the island's language, and it's
that's
just
the
trying
island's
to get in
language.
There, just trying to sneak its way in. Yeah.
Right.
And when you sleep, you just absorb it. What? And it's appear.
Oh my god, wait, really?
I found him.
Holy shit.
That's the origins section. Origins of what? Origins of the languages?
Origins of the languages, and I don't actually see...
We gotta do this.
The land itself apparently is not where the languages came from.
We've never had this work out this well.
It's great. So it's a list of like competing theories of the origins of the language, and Sapir's favorite theory is a few
linguistically distinct migrations,
as opposed to many I don't know. Oh yeah,
well,
these
are choices.
Three, multiple migrations.
Single one language migration not widely accepted.
Let's just click this link to this guy.
But isn't it so weird that the one that's not widely accepted is presumably accepted by a few people, but then, you know, otherwise they'd just say the name of the one person who prefers that theory. But for the second theory, Edward Sapir may be the only one who...
He's the only person in the world.
Yeah, and then it's the only thing that matters.
It's even less widely accepted, potentially.
Yeah.
It's got one famous endorser. Right. Okay, let's go for it.
Eddie Sapir.
Step 5.
Well, they say how to pronounce it. I can't really read it.
It's IPA. I can't read that.
You can.
Is this where it comes out that neither of you can actually read IPA?
I can barely read English.
Yeah. So he was
an American anthropologist linguist.
I see it. It's down there.
All right. Is it even
linguistic relativity?
Or
I don't see it.
It's
I
see his pal.
Go to the right, like 4 words.
Oh, it's purple. It's purple. It doesn't stick out as much.
So it means you've clicked on it before?
Today.
I was reading the
she was
page
just on
earlier.
The page.
I thought that was gonna be like a big
6
shocker.
Steps, we did it.
That was good.
And the title of this episode will be Linguistic Relativity. Officially now.
No. Sapir Whorf Hypothesis is a much better title, Matt.
And depending on the title you choose, it totally changes how you think about the theory.
Dean just watched me try to write down linguistic relativity, and it just started to scroll
and Dean
up into...
ripped the pen out of your hand.
Crushed it, ink everywhere.
Yeah, let me just cross out literally everything I wrote down and then just go,
Dean took the pen. Dean took the pen and chewed it up in his mouth full of fully intact teeth.
Yeah.
There was nothing Matt could do.
Man, do you generally hang out on the page at the end of the podcast? And
a little
bit. It depends
bit.
How much
all
time
right.
we
yeah.
have.
Yeah. We have some time.
All right.
Artificial languages. Let's look at this.
Conlangs.
Oh, yeah.
Constructed.
In their fiction, authors such as Ayn Rand and George Orwell explored how linguistic relativity might be exploited for political purposes. Classic. Take out the word I. People don't understand.
That they're people.
That they're people.
I think that that's really dumb.
I say the word I, therefore I am.
You're right, Matt.
I think that Ayn Rand is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, that was actually, you didn't make that up as a hypothetical example.
It says in Rand's Anthem, a fictive communist society or
maybe
the possibility of individualism.
I've not read it, no.
Have you not read Ayn Rand's entire canon?
No.
Come on, Dean, what are you
leave.
Doing?
You have to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to read Anthem in middle school and fuck that.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I know.
Why did they make you read that in middle school?
Because people, Rand is still seen as like of literary value, even though it just means that you're teaching a bunch of like eighth graders to become libertarians later on in life or something. Like,
right. Not helpful. Libertarians wouldn't want the school to like dictate that that's the book that the kids read anyway.
They would want to be like Atlas Shrugged or something.
No, but they wouldn't want a school to have the ability to
tell kids to
read a certain
thing. Well, as you know, lesser of two evils, books we don't like versus Ayn Rand, you'd much rather the school teach Ayn Rand.
Yeah. I mean, so that idea with the I, you know, being required to think about yourself, I don't think anyone really thinks that, but they say similar things where, like, if they hear a speech and a politician uses first-person pronouns a lot, they'll say, oh, look how self-centered this politician is, without comparing it to other, you know, their favorite politician may have given a speech the day before that uses way more first-person pronouns.
Right. Yeah. I think about in writing cover letters, which is a thing, unfortunately, I still have to be doing a bunch these days, is overusing, you know, overusing the same word or starting too many sentences with I.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a document where I'm talking about myself and my skills and what I want out of this position. And it's like, you only have so many options, and other options sound forced and bad.
You just put the clauses in a different order.
I know, but then sometimes that sounds like garbage.
You just put the, even not the clauses, just the words. So instead of saying I want a job, you say, want I a job?
Want I a job?
Want I a job?
If I was trying to apply to the local ye olde theater. And I a job? Like, maybe, but it doesn't really play well for social media positions.
We had this discussion in intro syntax one time where somebody, a friend of ours in the class, her brother was there for some reason, and the professor asked the question, he asked, do you guys think that the sentence "eat dog's cheese" is a good sentence that works? And this person's brother who was sitting in on the class
was like,
"This
was the brother who was asking that question." Sorry,
he was like, "That checks out." Yeah,
fine, passes the test.
Eat dog's cheese.
I don't like that sentence.
Eat dog's cheese.
I mean, I like it.
Well, that's true. I like it.
I mean,
it sets off.
It's
like
a command, right? You're saying eat dog's cheese.
Wait, it's a command?
Right?
You're telling the
dogs, You're telling the cheese to eat the dogs.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah. Or
eat dogs.
Comma cheese. Yeah.
Cheese.
I was seeing it as dog's cheese is the noun, and you're just saying eat dog's cheese. That's a fine sentence when you emphasize it correctly, right?
Yeah. Like the dog has
definitely.
Some cheese.
It's all,
and you're
going
to eat dog's cheese, not cat's cheese. She needs
eat dog's cheese.
Yeah.
It's really all about prosody. Everything is about prosody.
Yeah. Everything is about prosody.
Prosody rules
everything
around me. Preem, get the money.
I think they closed, actually.
Oh, right. Yeah. Preem did close.
Maybe they didn't.
Yeah.
Go and mention this podcast and you get half off your Philly cheesesteak
pizza. Prosody rules everything around me.
If you're in Philadelphia, just stop by the Stitzel's factory and mention, can you get to that? And they will give you, they'll just actually just extract your teeth from your mouth for you, and you'll get no ginger snaps, no cookies.
When I got these from the store, I asked the lady whether she has had them before. I assumed the answer was going to be yes. I wanted to hear like a story. And she had a story. She's like, it used to be, oh, wow, that sound, man, my ears are bleeding now, too. This is terrible. She said that they used to be things that you'd give out to trick-or-treaters.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, you'd like...
Can you guys hear that?
What?
Can you hear that?
Mm-mm.
Okay, never mind.
What was it?
Somebody just started mowing the lawn outside.
Well, we already got
We'll wrap it up.
No, but they used to give them out to trick-or-treaters in, like, individually portioned baggies before you had to be careful about checking
Right, before
candy.
People were worried there were razors in the
right,
candies.
Which I think is a... That's not as rational a fear as just breaking kids' teeth.
With
you know?
With ginger snaps, yeah.
Right, like, with the candy itself.
Like, yeah, already a risk. Yeah. Well,
don't they understand that candy is the poison?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. This has been Can You Get to That? Thank you, Dean,
for having me.
Dropping in and being our guest.
I can't believe that we didn't even one time bring up the thing that Dean is famous you know, around the world for.
What is
what
that?
Am I famous around the world?
I mean,
for?
Which
is
we
that
can plug him
you
at the
are
end.
You are the world's best dad.
Yeah, I think I had a mug to that effect at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been lost at along the way.
From the competition, right, from the dad contest,
still,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I still have a Powell's mug that I really like. You know, you accumulate mugs. Mm-hmm. I don't have my dad mug anymore.
That's
I
really unfortunate.
I have a Reed Dad t-shirt. You know, like the shirt that every college sells one of those for your dad to wear.
Right, right.
Yeah, I've got a University of Oklahoma dad t-shirt. It's very nice, yeah.
I got a
It's got the horse mascot on it, and it's a horse
Boomer
dad.
Boomer Sooner. Hey, I got Boomer's page open right here.
Oh, yeah?
Get
a Boomer shirt. Get Boomer printed
on
a jersey.
This is about the song, actually.
Dean, do you have any things that you want to plug?
No, I feel like...
Do you have maybe parents who enjoy listening to this podcast, apparently?
I know.
You want to say hi to?
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I know you're going to be listening to this. Thanks for listening all the way to the end. I'll call you later.
I promise Dean, at the start of the show and at no point during the show, Dean never got high. Just so you know, he's
a good
boy. He was never high.
They'd probably
we didn't
okay.
have to bleep any swears out because he didn't make them.
Yeah, he's such a good boy. Yeah. And hi, nice to know that you're listening.
They're going to record their own reply podcast now. That'll become their next project.
They're going to start from Lynn Riggs, and they're going to get there in fewer than six steps, and it's really going to sting.
Yeah.
They're going to be
I mean, we could you realize what we could have done?
No. I don't.
We could have cut out the link to Cherokee language I feel like was on Yeah, maybe not. We could have maybe gone to Cherokee and then to Cherokee language.
Mm.
Well, so we didn't need to go to the University of Oklahoma. Is
oh
what you're
shit!
Saying?
We could have gone
oh,
to.
No.
We could have also
oh.
gone to Cherokee
Uh-oh.
Instead of the University
well, it wasn't,
of Oklahoma.
It was good instincts to go to a university.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, I am Matthew Olson. You can find me on Twitter. It's at Matthew Olson. Spell it right. That's all I'm gonna say for myself this week.
That's it.
Well, keep listening to Can You Get to That? Follow us on Twitter. It's at Get to That. Go on Facebook. It's facebook.com/CYGTT. I think all of the little video clips I've made to promote the show, for you to share with your friends, to get them listening to the show, I think they're all up on the Facebook page. So that's a good resource. And
yeah, we got that new extremely silly one.
The extremely silly Evangelion
The cruel wiki thesis.
How silly was it on like a scale from 1 to 420?
420.
Okay. Full 420 silliness. Yeah. If you're an anime nerd, maybe you'll appreciate that one. You really already have to like the podcast to get anything out of that
to
video.
Understand any of it.
So don't share that with friends who haven't listened. It won't... Unless they love anime, it won't work well. That's all I gotta say. Listen to this show.
Listen to this show. Hey.
Rate and subscribe.
Give it a listen. Hey, can you get to that? Give it a listen.
You're already this far.
I have been Caitlin Best. You can find me on Twitter at BestKabest, BESTKABEST. I don't have anything.
You got a mug blog. We were just talking about mugs.
I do have a mug blog. We were just talking about mugs, and I did just think of my mug
blog. I kind of threw you that bone. I'm surprised you didn't, jump on it.
I saw it fly by, and I just sort of was like, eh.
Let it go.
There it goes. There's the bone. I got plenty of bones.
206 of them?
Uh-huh, something
that
like
that.
That
was in the episode.
Body.
That was in that stupid episode of Leverage. Oh, God.
So many connections.
Dean.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
I was wondering if you have a last question for us that you might want to ask to me and Caitlin, possibly. Maybe you do. I don't know. I don't want to put you on the spot here, but maybe there's a question you would want to ask us.
What if technology bad? Thought?
No! Damn it!
I read what you wrote. What more do you want from me?
Eat dog's cheese, Dean.